Township Board of Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. Would you please rise for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands in one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Although it is posted within the meeting room, I would advise those persons attending that it is and has been the policy of the council to take forward all public meetings for the purposes of providing accurate minutes. In addition, the Board of Supervisors met in executive session to discuss land, legal, and personnel matters. Jill, would you do the roll call?
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Member Mark Moyer?
Here.
Chairman John Foley?
Here.
And Member Susan Court.
And I will just advise those folks that Susan is out of town for a hiatus, a well-deserved hiatus. She sends her regrets. At this time, it is visitor of public comment. If you need to address the Board of Supervisors, please step to the microphone, state your name and address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, please.
Good evening. My name is Anita Menser. I live at 1181 Wakefield Court in Homestown.
I'm Juliet Waldron. I live at 1241 Coolidge Avenue in Hershey, PA.
And the reason for our appearance tonight to be before the Bexar Township Supervisors is that many of you probably know that April 4th was designated Equal Pay Day in the Commonwealth. And we have a letter from Governor Wolf that we're going to present, but we also have a proclamation that we would like the Erie Township Supervisors to consider. And we're going to read this proclamation to you, and Juliet and I will go back and forth. And I have copies for each of you. Whereas, more than 50 years after the passage of the Equal Pay Act, women, especially minority women, continue to suffer the consequences of unequal pay.
And whereas in 2009, the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act was signed into law, which gives back to employees their day in court to challenge a pay gap, and now we must pass the Paycheck Fairness Act, which would amend the Equal Pay Act by closing loopholes and improving the law's effectiveness, and
whereas, according to statistics released in 2015 by the Census Bureau, year-round full-time working women in 2014 earned a real median income of $39,621, and full-time year-round working men earned a real median income of $50,383, and the U.S. Census Bureau's 2014 current population survey found progress in closing the wage gap so slim as to be statistically insignificant.
And whereas businesses with over 100 employees will now be required to submit summary pay data broken down by gender, race, and ethnicity to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and the U.S. Labor Department annually as directed by the White House 29 January 2016, and
whereas according to the National Committee on Pay Equity, over a working lifetime, wage disparities cost the average American woman and her family $700,000 to $2 million in lost wages, impacting Social Security benefits and pensions, and
whereas a December 2015 preliminary report by United Nations Human Rights Council monitors found America is, quote, allowing women to lag behind, unquote. And though women have been an important factor in the U.S. labor force, driving decades of economic growth, this crucial labor force participation by women is not accompanied by equal economic opportunity. And
whereas nearly 4 in 10 mothers are primary breadwinners in their households, and nearly 2/3 are primary or significant earners, making pay equity critical to families' economic security.
And whereas a lifetime of lower pay means women have less income to save for retirement and less income counted in Social Security or pension benefit formula. And
whereas fair pay equity policies can be implemented simply and without undue costs or hardships to both public and private sectors, and fair pay strengthens the security of families today and eases future retirement costs while enhancing the American economy,
And whereas April 12, 2017, that symbolizes the time in the new year in which the wages paid to American women catch up to the wages paid to men from the previous year. That was April 4.
And therefore, now we are calling on the Dairy Township Supervisors to hereby support Equal Pay Day in Dairy Township, Dauphin County, and urge the citizens of Dairy Township, Dauphin County, to recognize the full value of women's skills and significant contributions to the labor force, and further encourage businesses to conduct an internal pay evaluation to ensure women are being paid fairly. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can you receive a take-up copy of that?
Sure.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Are you on this topic?
No, this is something
completely different. Pause just one second. Yep. Stay right there. Do we want to discuss this, adopt this? Is there a motion to consider it? Any action?
I guess I would just suggest that if there's a majority of us that agree that we would consider it for our next meeting, I had a chance to read that document at the time. I think it would be a little bit false to pass something without us having a chance to review it once, but I'd be in favor of having it on our agenda next meeting.
We agree?
Sure.
Very well.
Yeah.
We will do that and look forward to taking action at the next meeting. So, with that said, you have the floor.
Thank you. My name is Suzanne Fisher, and I am here on behalf of the American Cancer Society and two events that we have coming up in the Hummelstown Hershey area. That's the Bark for Life, which is held at Indian Echo Caverns. This will be our seventh year. And you can ask Valerie, it'll be a wonderful event. She comes out every year and helps us out. The Bark for Life is an event where canine caregivers who have helped their owners, masters, get through cancer can actually be represented and thanked and raise money for the Cancer Society all at the same time. Last year we raised about $20,000 in about 4 hours in the afternoon. It's going to be this April 29th, like I said, at Indian Echo Caverns from 10 to 1. The reason I'm bringing that up to you is I would love to see it on a community calendar. We get lots of people from Hummelstown, not quite too many people from Hershey. And we'd really like to reach out to the Hershey community and have them join us. The second event that I am talking about is the Relay for Life of Hummelstown Hershey, which is held at Lower Dauphin High School every year. Started out at the medical center, moved many times, and ended up at Lower Dauphin. So that's why we call it the Hummelstown Hershey event, because it did start, at the medical center. That will be June 9th and 10th at Lower Dauphin High School. I know the police officers know we're there, because unfortunately they get lots of calls saying our music is too loud, although the officers at Chilco, we can't even hear your music. But we just, again, would like you guys to know that we're there. Maybe get on a calendar or, put some information out to the local residents that we're there and we'd love for them to come join us. And again, that's June 9th and 10th, and it runs from 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday to 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. We are awake for 24 hours straight. And actually, it's really nice because as I'm here, I see some of our members sitting in the audience. They come out with family, friends, co-workers, they form a team, and last year I believe we raised about $145,000 in our area for the Cancer Society. We, of course, being Hershey and Hummelstown, think we can double that. So we'd just like to get your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I give you something?
I saw you copiously taking notes. I think we can get that on our calendar.
Yes, and we've been in contact.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right, I'm rising in support of the lady's request in relation to the Equal Pay Act for women. This is something that's not just affecting others, it's affecting our own community here. And in support of that, if you take a look at the information reported by the school, there's more single mothers in our community requiring the assistance in lunch school program from, I think it was 2005 or 6, it was 5%. Today it's up to over 21%. So I think this is an important issue they're bringing up, and we'd like to see the support of the township to help move this forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble. Is there anyone else? Seeing none. Next on our agenda is the approval of meeting minutes for the public hearing of March 28, 2017. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Engel. Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those minutes are unanimously approved. The next is the Board of Supervisors meeting for March 28, 2017. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir. Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those minutes are also unanimously approved. Next is our new business. Item A, 1 through 3, appointment of members of Derry Township Downtown Core Design Board. I'm just going to go to Mr. Emmer.
Thank you. Along with the adoption of our 2017 zoning ordinance, we also adopted the Downtown Core Design Standards. And those design standards are meant to replace the former Chocolate Avenue Overlay Preservation District and the former Design Advisory Board. The new board will be comprised of two members of the Township Board of Supervisors who are serving on the Downtown Hershey Association Board of Directors, and five members as appointed by the Board of Supervisors as nominated by the Downtown Hershey Association. The thought is that having the Downtown Hershey Association, whose focus is on the downtown, nominating the members, that we would continue to get quality members for this board. There has been nominations made. They are in the agenda item. The term for each member on this board is 5 years, but to get the board started, we need to stagger the terms. So what came through the Downtown Hershey Association is nominations are Andy Bowman for a member at large for a 1 year term. Susan Court and Justin Engel as our Board of Supervisors, Downtown Hershey Association directors for 2 year terms, coincidental with their Downtown Hershey Association board term. Jim George as a member at large for a 3 year term. George Acorn as a member at large for a 4 year term, and Jennifer Harnden as a member at large for a 5 year term.
And Pam Moore for a 1 year term,
which is on the other page. Sorry.
The
nice thing with this board, I will say just quickly, is three of the members are making a transition from the former board to this board, so we anticipate a smooth set of meetings getting started.
Very good. So we have a slate of names that have been recommended. Is there a motion to accept that slate? Motion by Mr. Weir.
Second
by Mr. Engel. Are there any questions or comments on this motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that slate is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is B1 through 10, the final land development plan for 555 East Chocolate Avenue, Lot 2, Flat Number 1272. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan will look familiar as it's the accompanying side of the hotel that's presently under construction on East Chocolate Avenue. This plan amends a preliminary plan or continues a preliminary plan that was approved at the same time as the hotel. It was submitted under our former zoning, so it's under the 1993 zoning. All the uses are permitted. What's proposed here, in addition to the existing two-story office building known as 555 East Chocolate, is a two-story, 20,250 square foot retail office building, which is speculative, and a single-story, 4,750 square foot medical office building, which will actually be the focus of the next agenda item. There are a number of requests from the Zoning Hearing Board, both as part of the prior plan. All of those are carried ahead to this plan. The trip generation evaluation between the former plan and this plan shows a reduction of 851 daily trips overall from what was proposed on the site previously. The plan, stormwater for the plan, is addressed through connection to an existing underground stormwater system put in as part of the hotel, connection to an existing underground stormwater system that was put in as part of the two-story office building, the creation of a new underground stormwater system connecting both properties, a small rain garden and a small vegetative swale on the in front of the medical office building. Waivers were granted as part of the preliminary plans, no further actions required on those. Planning Commission at their meeting of February 7th, 2017 did recommend approval of this plan. I'm recommending approval of plat 1272 subject to the following happening: that the applicant reimburse the township for costs incurred in reviewing the plan no later than May 11th, 2017. That the following items be addressed by October 11th, 2017, that performance security agreement is signed and that the security is provided, that a letter or agreement from DTMA is received regarding an encroachment of the building into their easement, that a letter is provided from the Dauphin County Conservation District approving the erosion and sediment control plan, that a copy of the NPDES permit is provided, that an AutoCAD file of the plans is provided, that two original signed and notarized O&M agreements defining responsibilities for lot 1 and 2 are provided, that the draft deeds are provided with the language as required under our stormwater ordinance, that the shared access, shared parking, stormwater discharge, and sanitary sewer easement agreements are provided to the township for review. It is noted that the parking agreement must have a term of 25 years, that the signed easements for the Riker development are also secured. And finally, that the stormwater BMP O&M agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the other agreements noted in item J above are also recorded concurrently with the plan.
Very good. Are there any questions for Mr. Emmer?
Stormwater capacity for the hotel have that much extra capacity that they could add to this?
It was originally designed to pick up part of the capacity. So, so yes.
So it was designed.
Yes.
And forgive me, I know it's in here, but what was the previous proposal?
So the previous proposal was for a multi-story medical office building,
right,
parking garage to
right,
the east of the property.
Okay. Hearing no other questions, is there a motion? I'll make a motion. Is there a second? With no second?
I'll make a second.
Second by Mr. Hengel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries unanimously. Next on our agenda is C, 1 through 11, consideration of a new building at 555 East Chopin Avenue, Hershey, within the Chopin Avenue Preservation Overlay District. Mr. Emmer.
So under the former Chocolate Avenue Preservation Overlay District, the Board of Supervisors is tasked with approving all out-of-the-ground new buildings. So what's before you this evening is the final rendering for the Medical Express building proposed on the eastern end of the plan that you just approved. This plan did go through our design advisory board. At the time, the proposal looked like this. I'm going to flip back and forth between these just so that you can kind of catch the changes. Our design advisory board asked for some tie to other architecture in the town, so they added the stone banding along the bottom of the building. In doing that, they also took away the larger fiberboard type of block look to the building, more of an ephes look, more of a smoother look. The design advisory board had asked for brick for the column, the column that has the medical cross in it. Due to national branding, they chose not to make that out of brick, but they have it in a brick color, proposed in a brick color. Because of these modifications, we did run this through Chris Brown and his role as a planner, and also in his role with the design advisory board. He doesn't have any objection to the small changes that were made to get the stone banding, and neither does staff. So So with that, we're recommending that the board approve the building design as proposed.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Evans?
Chuck, is that Med Express across the sign, considered the sign, so within keeping the sign?
That's very true. It is a sign. They've been known, they've already been made aware that it's larger than what is permitted by our ordinance. So the signs shown on this building were excluded, and I should have mentioned that, were excluded from the design package that came to our advisory board. And incidentally, this building will no longer be, is no longer in this design district as a result of our new zoning ordinance. We move that district a little bit to the west. But either way, that cross is too large.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know. They're aware that it doesn't meet their ordinance.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is D1 through 21. Consideration of rejection of the preliminary land development plan for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, plat number 1156. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is a plan that was submitted to us originally in June of 2008. This is the property that lies behind the sheets that was just constructed in the strip mall. The lot that this sits on was created at the same time as the lot was for the strip mall. This land was zoned agricultural conservation and remains in our new zoning zoned as agricultural conservation. This plan was submitted to us five times. It was tabled five times. The last actions that happened were after the fifth table, oddly on May 21st of 2009 at 8:34 a.m. in the morning, we got a request for withdrawal from the consultant for the church. At 11:20 that same morning, we got email from Julie Von Spreckelson, who's with the legal firm East Burning Gray, saying that it is not the intention to withdraw the plan. There were three plan extensions given in 2009, and finally in 2010 through Mark Jonas, attorney with East Burning Gray. There was an indefinite extension offered for the plan. Since this plan was submitted, there have been many changes in our ordinance. We did contact Mark Jonas in October of last year, trying to get some indication of what the church wanted to do. He couldn't get a hold of anybody at the church. They were unresponsive to him. He said he didn't know what else we could do at this point. We made him aware that upon adoption of the new ordinance, we'd be bringing forth an item to have this plan rejected. So I'm recommending that the board reject the preliminary land development plan for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints due to the following deficiencies. The comments contained in the Township Staff Report dated April 21st, 2009. The comments contained in the HRG Memorandum dated April 16th, 2009. The comments contained in the DTMA letter dated April 28th, 2009. The outstanding comments contained in the Dauphin County Planning Commission review report based on the plan review in August of 2008. The rejection by the County Conservation District of the NPDES permit application, the expiration of the zoning relief that was gained and was necessary for this project, which by the way was a use variance, the modification of the township stormwater management ordinance, December 21st, 2010, the modification of the township subdivision and land development regulations, December 21st, 2010, and October 13th, 2015, and finally the adoption of the township zoning regulations on March 28th, 2017. We'd like to clear this plan from our records.
Thank you, Mr. Emmer. Are there any questions?
This is agricultural conservation land that will be named?
Yes.
So I'm assuming that you work with John, you're aware of this.
Well, the question I'm going to ask is, have we documentary evidence that the actual owner of the property has been advised of what we're intending to do?
As our last contacts came through their legal counsel, that is the path that we chose to go back through to them.
And who was their legal counsel in what year?
2009.
2010. I'm a little concerned that he says he wasn't able to reach anybody. And have we ever sent anything directly to the owner of the property? Do we have the name and address of the owner of the property?
We do. As a matter of fact, they contacted us this year asking about the official map, but no indication of anything happening with this. We think they did. We had some contact from Utah related to the official map. John, at this point, this plan is so far out of compliance, I don't know what could be salvaged.
Well, and I don't think we've got a problem in that, but I think at least this decision should be sent to them and not to the attorney from a couple of years ago.
We're happy to do that as well. Yeah.
And it may not mean anything, but we need something on the record that we actually let the developer of the property, not his engineer or his attorney, got information about it. Okay.
With that advice, then I'd ask that you table the action on the plan this evening, pending further results.
All right. I think that gives us a little more protection.
Right? Yeah, that's fine.
John, is it appropriate for us to contact the client directly when a new representation that they are represented by legal counsel?
As long as Chuck does, I can.
I don't mind giving them the courtesy, whatever.
Is there under the advice of counsel, we're going to table this. Is there any objection to that table? With that, this is tabled until the next meeting. Next on our agenda is E1 through 2, request of the Downtown Christian Association to have alcoholic beverages in the Chapeltown Square for DHA's 2017 Light and Chocolate Event Series. Ms. Zubra.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ordinance number 553, as amended, requires the board provide approval for events requesting alcoholic beverages to be on the premises of Chapeltown Square Park in downtown. As you know, the Downtown Hershey Association uses the space for several of its events, and we are requesting to have alcohol on the premises for Art on Chocolate, which will be held on May 13th, 2017, Market on Chocolate, which will be held Saturdays, June through September, Music on Chocolate, which will be held the second Saturday of each month, June through September, and Chocktoberfest, which will be held on Saturday, October 14th. The DHA is committed to ensuring that any alcohol service is done so in a safe and responsible manner. We make sure to coordinate with the police department anytime that we are looking to bring in beer or wine vendors.
Very good. Are there any questions?
Lauren, I had a person very complimentary of all the events downtown.
Oh.
They like the wine and they like the music. They said it's a possibility to get an ice cream stand for the kids.
We're looking into that, yeah, for a few of our different events, definitely. Good call.
Any other questions?
Or maybe gelato.
Hearing none. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir. I'll second the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is F1 through 2, request by Hershey Entertainment Resort Company to hold the 8th annual Hershey Half Marathon on Sunday, October 15th at 7:30 a.m. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you said, this year our request is to hold the 8th annual Hershey Half Marathon on October 15th, 2017. Events of this nature, where we have state and local road closures, are required to be approved by the supervisors. Everybody kind of is aware of what the half marathon is all about. It is also a fundraiser for the Children's Miracle Network. That is their primary charity that they give money to as a result of this event. Some of the roadways that will be affected by the event are Park Boulevard, Park Avenue, Chocolate Avenue, Bridge Park Drive, Homestead Road, Mansion Road, and Mysteria Road. We will have numerous traffic control points, which will be manned by not only our own officers, but by fire police, auxiliary police, police officers from other departments, and those compensations are taken into account during the event, and HGNR is aware of the reimbursement policy for those officers to conduct that traffic control. This is one that we usually contact the local ministerium, and that has been done. They were contacted and consulted and received, for lack of better terms, the blessing for this on February 14th of this year. So that has been completed as well.
Very good.
Right, just out of curiosity, do those other jurisdictions bill you and then you bill HGNR? How does that work?
It is funneled through the coordinator on our end, which is usually Officer Ken Shank. He collects those bills and then forwards them to HGNR. Director of Security, Jason White, is the one that handles them on Hershey Entertainment Center. Okay. So then they actually pay out directly to those departments. Then.
I see. I was sure you marked it up or anything.
What's that?
I was sure you marked it up or anything.
No.
Are there any other questions from board members? I guess just the typical question that comes out, have you, Jason, I presume you're going to touch base with the ministerium, or that's an ongoing dialogue for this event, given it's a Sunday morning?
Yes, ongoing dialogue, and we were the ones that reached out on 14.
Very good. I didn't doubt that. I just wanted to make sure it was stated, so.
Thank you.
Yeah. With that, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second
by Mr. Hangel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is correspondent board committee information. I will start to my left. Mr. Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now that we have some input from our department heads on anticipated five-year capital expenditures, I propose that we have Jim begin the task of preparing a five-year capital spending plan after he meets with the consultant with department heads to identify their priorities and must-have items. We as a board then can receive that proposed five-year plan and adjust the proposal as we deem fit with our priorities and things like that. But I think that's an important next step in the process of adopting a comprehensive five-year plan is to have our administrative staff begin that process. I just think it makes sense for planning purposes.
Can I, and Jim, this is a question for you, can I presume that the list does include those requests from the various department heads without categorizing it flippantly as a wish list?
First of all, Cheryl's reached out to the department heads. They're going to prioritize. They need to prioritize what equipment, what sources they need for their plan. I need to see their priorities in an established order. Then we can go ahead and work on the plan.
I guess, thank you, because I mean, kind of dovetails this, bluntly, the rest of the board didn't have the benefit of there was a transportation meeting this morning, and we were talking about capital needs as it related to Bullfrog Valley Road or Sand Hill Road and those needs. And that kind of opened up the door to talk about some of this. And really, it is, I guess, the best way to characterize this is it is very fluid. I don't know that there's going to be a specific, everything fits in a specific box, and here it is. Some of it depends on revenue that's received, and I don't just mean tax revenue or liquid fuels funds, but grant funds and what initiatives and priorities we as a board, outside of the regular day-to-day operations of the community, take on and how that impacts all of the budgets. So, yes, understand what you're requesting, and if that's already underway, that's great. And then we will continue to take this.
Our is the process. Yeah, it will just be a starting point. What we are going, Cheryl, Terry, and I are going to put together with the department is a starting point to show you our recommendations and how we see it. The board is going to have to give us direction on how they want to proceed.
Correct.
And that's all I was proposing, that, you know, it'd be, if you will, an initial jumping off point, solidifying the planning process. And of course, it would be subject to modification and updating as additional decisions are made. But I think it's an important next step in the process.
This will mostly be capital equipment, capital needs, projects.
Right. Because both will impact each other.
Sure, absolutely. So, is it okay if the board directs you to continue on with that process?
Just continue on with the process here.
And get back to us with, you know, proposed capital projects 5-year plan, and we'll then take it from there and look at it and massage it if need be.
This will take a few weeks.
Very good. Well, in fairness, everyone understands, when Susan shared with me that she'd be out of town, that's when I said I'd prefer that if we're going to have a true capital budget discussion, that all members were present so that we could hear all the different voices rather than get onto a pathway. Not that one is going to lead in one way or the other, but just so everyone had an opportunity to be heard and to respond to that. So, yes, I believe in the next meeting or in two meetings we can begin that dialogue, whether it be an executive session or a public meeting.
I'm missing you. So we're not instructing Jim to move forward?
No, we did. That was the very first thing I said.
Okay.
Continue on with the path you have taken. You shared that it's already underway.
And I agree, this is an important and logical first step to all the planning we have done. I know in household planning, you know, I have to plan for a roof. I don't know what income I'm going to have or
sure.
New cars. So this is logical.
Yeah, there's no question. But I would argue that it's not the first step by any means. And the first step was a year ago.
You're right.
When we took on and yeah. Really took a pretty bold move and hired a firm to do multi-year budgeting.
Yeah.
So now we have the infrastructure in place.
Let's
so
take that next
do
step.
Planning like this and plug it in and have a meeting.
Yeah. And that way we can look at anticipated capital expenditures from the various departments over the course of the next 5 years. So we can prioritize them as a board and fit in, you know, other types of project initiatives as well, so that we at least can have a plan moving forward. And of course, that plan, as most plans are, they're subject to change and revision. But at least we have something tangible to look at and say, hey, you know, in 3 years, we're at least planning on starting this initiative. Or next year, we're at least looking at the need to buy a dump truck or something like that.
Right.
Something
right.
like that.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Thanks.
Yep. Matt? The only thing, probably the most notable is we continue, there's a little bit of coverage with the Sun with regard to M&A Trail and meeting with them. And we continue that dialogue both with the police and emergency services and our various elected officials. And I will continue to update the board and the public as that information warrants. Mr. Engel.
The only thing I'll add is that you mentioned we had a transportation meeting this morning that John and I attended, Jim, Tom Clark, Lauren, and Chuck Emmerich, and I think you all get copied on that transportation update, so it's a good meeting, and if you have any questions, by all means, let us know.
Very good. Next on our agenda is the reports from the departments. Chief Warner.
Thank you. I heard today that they're going to be going to prescribe burns at the Hershey School Meadows.
Yes, I saw something on that. Yes.
Okay. So you are aware.
Yeah, they made us aware. They're also in touch with FEMA to make them aware of maybe other emergency services.
And that's the DCMR.
Yes. Yep.
Mr. Sassman with the fire department.
Mr. Chairman, 63 calls for the month of March.
I also would like to acknowledge that Deputy Chief Rodney Sonderman, he received the Mrs. Smith Award from South Central Task Force for his involvement in the Fire Rescue and Hazmat Division.
It was a remarkable achievement. So I was there, and my kudos to him and the fine work he continues to do on behalf of the department and township.
I'll pass that over to you as well.
Thank you. Public Works, Mr. Piccolo.
I have nothing to report tonight, Mr.
Thank you so much.
Bob, I just wanted to thank Bob and his department for the work on Tree Vitalize. I should have mentioned this on my section, but on Earth Day, we're going to do two things. 9 o'clock, Tree Vitalize. People are going to be meeting at the rec center to plant trees. And also at 9 o'clock at the medical center, Tree City celebration is going to take place, and we'll do the proclamation for Tree City. And I want to thank Bob and his department and the volunteers who work on this order of trees. Bob has the call one out working, and he has his guys planted. So it's a great coordination between the public and volunteer, our staff and volunteers.
And Matt, when is Earth Day?
Earth Day is the 22nd.
I know, forgive me.
I can't believe
what
it
is. It's when?
April 22nd.
April 22nd.
Very good. And the library spells.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We started off this week, National Library Week, with Richard Ford, a nationally known Pulitzer Prize winning author, was at the library on Sunday. Normally, we would have our volunteer appreciation luncheon this Friday, but the fact that it's Good Friday, we're doing it next Friday on the 21st of April, and all of you should have received your invitations, all of you on the board. We'd love to have you there so that we can all of us thank our volunteers very well for what they do all year long. Thank you.
Thank you. Terry, I'm looking at you. We all know we passed notes up here, right? Thank you so much.
You.
Mr. Banfield.
Just very quickly, we have our final DCNR inspection set for the Cocoa Castle Playground on Thursday, April 20th, and we plan the opening to officially open it, the long-awaited opening, on April 29th, which is a Saturday.
Fantastic.
How did the Frisbee golf opening go?
It was great.
Was it?
Very well attended. Yeah.
Extremely well attended.
And this past weekend, Sunday went up, and there's a lot of folks up there using it.
Okay.
That's good.
It was certainly a lesson. I was there for the opening and the first toss, and things you didn't know. It's not Frisbee. So, interesting.
Mr. Chairman, I have a few questions for Matt. First comment is somebody traded up with a good craftsman hammer.
First thing I want to make sure of is, have you used a hammer?
I did, and somebody got a really nice hammer.
But brand new, without nicks or scratches.
But that aside, Matt, what is the next stakeholder meeting on the rec center renovation project?
We just sent that out today. It is May 2nd at 5:30. I believe that's a Tuesday.
And that's a stakeholder meeting predominantly?
Yes, that is the stakeholder committee that we put together.
And could you remind me of who the stakeholders are?
There are, I believe, 9 individuals, majority of the entities in the community, the school district, the medical center. We have folks from the senior center, as well as our swimming community. So all the stakeholders that we assume would be part of a future project and utilization of the facility.
Do you anticipate there being a discussion at this stage whereby a comparison of can be made between the cost to repair and renovate the existing building with associated capabilities of a renovated existing building compared to the cost and capabilities of a full rebuild of the project?
I don't think at this next stakeholders meeting that would be a topic of conversation. Right now we're in the second phase of planning, and
at least the task at hand for the stakeholders group right now is to try and really fine-tune and narrow down the program and footprint for a potential new facility. Certainly, during this process, not only the overall cost for such a project needs to be discussed at length, but also the operations analysis of what an annual operating analysis would look like as well. And then certainly there would be some time needed to get contractors in, if that's the direction of the board, to look at a renovation approach. But that wouldn't be part of the discussion on May 2nd.
On May 2nd. When you say operational analysis, that would be the cost and personnel needed to actually operate
correct.
On a day-to-day basis.
Yep, from an annual perspective, both revenues and expenditures.
And at some point down the line in this process, do you envision the ability for the community to be made aware of that sort of comparison between a well-done renovation of the existing facility and its cost and capabilities, and a comparison of that to a proposed fully built out rebuild and capabilities as well?
Sure. I mean, as per board direction at that point, we could go down that road in terms of the comparison. Aquatics are a different beast. Pools are a different beast. The pools that we currently operate are going on 55 years old. And that's fairly unheard of in the aquatics world, and we're actually pretty proud to have been able to keep them operating this long. But to renovate a 55-year-old pool, I think you're going to have pretty good arguments on either side of that. But I mean, I think that's kind of the nuts and bolts we'd have to get into at that point. So when you're talking about renovating a facility, that's a lot different than renovating offices or a gymnasium. But when you start talking aquatics, it's really a whole different ballgame.
Right.
So, but based on board direction at that point, if we want to provide a comparison, it's going to be a matter of getting contractors on site and right. Getting really good numbers for the board to be able to look at.
And I'm not talking about just putting patches on stuff again. I'm talking about the cost to really.
Yeah, let me add to that. So also on the stakeholder group is Susan and I. So from this board, we represent the board on that stakeholder group. And it's a great question, Mark. We've had the advantage of being part of many conversations, many walkthroughs of the facility with professionals, and talking through renovation and hearing people talk about the challenges with renovating, not just because the pools are 55 years old, but just because the different grades of the building and how incredibly difficult it would be to renovate it. But you ask a great question, and I think we have to have an answer to that.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if the cost of, and I'm not talking about slapping some seal coat on whatever, I'm talking about bringing this facility, an existing facility, into a good standard of what we want, and if the cost of that, it is what it is. I mean, versus so that we have a basis for comparison out there that the community can look at and say, that whatever those numbers are, they at least have an ability to make an informed decision.
Yeah, and I don't think that would be that difficult. We've already started to talk to Greg Cusis, the construction manager, to sort of have his advice on this project.
Right.
And I don't think we need to go to a formal bid process to know what the differences are. We can have some budgeting done by construction manager or something.
Yeah.
But it's a good point. We have to have some
Think just so we could have some sort of basis for comparison to decide, so our community can decide which direction we want to go into, because either or both options could unfortunately result in a significant tax increase, and that's sort of a decision that I think the community needs to weigh in on.
Yeah.
How much they want to, how much they're willing to pay for.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
If we start going down the road of talking renovate, I think we also have to kind of clarify Are we renovating just the square footage that we currently are operating, or are we talking about potential addition of some other programming space as part of that renovation? So I think we have to identify the program as well in terms of what this renovation means.
And do you think this next meeting may be a step towards that sort of idea of whether or not we could have sort of a hybrid renovation, but certain stakeholders are going to need some capabilities that might result in,
I mean, my sense is it would be an independent effort.
I would agree.
You're going down a path, a well-established path, down with a stakeholder group.
We're hyper-focused on the current phase of consulting, so I think we need to complete this phase of consulting in terms of a new facility, and then we can maybe jump into this.
I didn't mean to suggest it's an either or an or, mm-hmm. you know.
But I don't see any reason why there couldn't be a separate effort that looks at a potential renovation.
I guess Matt's point is that's going to entail some expenditures in order to determine that.
I don't know. I do agree. I don't know if we have to go to bid or anything, but I think we just need to clarify what renovation means, and then we can get some folks, maybe Greg can help us out with that, and some other contractors to kind of give us some numbers that we have actual, because we're quite frankly trying to pin down the number on a new facility right now, so we have that, and then we can pin down the renovation numbers.
What those capabilities might entail. Okay. Sounds great, Matt. Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
Are there any other questions for Matt? Very good. Next is our engineer with HRG, Mr. Banana.
Yeah, just one project update. The Oakmont Wood Road Crossing was advertised last Thursday, April 6th, and it is scheduled, the bid opening is Thursday, May 4th for that project.
Very good. Any questions for Matt? Seeing that, Mr. Paul,
that was audible.
We're
all closed out.
In the transportation meeting this morning, I forgot to mention Brian Effort was there. So the easement on Middletown Road is, we're close to an MOU. It's not signed yet, but I think if you haven't talked to him yet, we're going to ask you to proceed with the survey.
Okay, I did not talk to Brian today, but
that's okay.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Mr. Avery.
We're just continuing the transition with the building ordinance. It's going rather smoothly. Nothing else.
Fantastic. Thank you. Ms. Umbro, economic development.
Just to note that our public hearing for the DCIB application, which includes the package of transportation projects, is scheduled for tomorrow with the county. I'll be attending that.
Very good. Good luck.
Thank you. I have nothing to report. Thanks.
Nothing to report.
Absolutely not.
Are you sure? Folks, I hate to say this. This is a painful day. This is the 11th 59th birthday of Mr. Nagley. So please join me and say happy birthday to
him. No, please. I appreciate it. It's very nice. Please keep Caden calling me.
Very good. That concludes our reports. Next up on our agenda is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $275,261.11 and payroll in the amount of $320,029.57. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the accounts payable and payroll are approved. We are at our final visitor and public comment. Those wishing to address the board, same rules and criteria. We're going to ask you a limit to 3 minutes.
Rich Campbell, appreciate you. I just want to bring to attention on University Drive, Briarcrest side, Motor Lodge. Are you familiar with that sinking hole that keeps getting larger and larger?
Very, very much.
I mean, I'm worried about it. It looks like it's right at the edge of the road right now. And, is somebody planning on doing something about that?
It's a great reminder.
It's a constant reminder. So you understand, Yes, we've done a bunch. It's been an ongoing effort, but Mr. Engel will share his next steps.
Well, no, it's a good reminder because that came up within the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and we are going to reach out to the owner just to see if we can push
it. Yeah, it seems to be getting larger. Yeah. Anytime I see people that walk through Briarcrest going over to Friendly's, and I'm afraid somebody might forget.
Yeah.
And you go. Okay, and the other thing with the walking path there at the Oakmont, I drive by it just by every day. And I noticed in the last rainstorm, there's a section west of where you're planning to put the crossing in. Seems it's yesterday there was a pretty good puddle still remaining there. So I don't know if that's sinking or I'm sure they when they engineered it, they didn't have that slope to retain.
Which side is the
On the medical side versus the west side of where you're planning to put the crossing in?
Right.
Are you coming up the road? It'd be before you get to the Oakmont opening. It's on, I call it the heading east.
Is it on the Oakmont side? If
you're
driving side, right?
It's on
the
cross.
What is it? In the field?
It's in the field.
Okay.
Just above it where your guardrail and then you see your path. And it's, I'd say maybe 70 yards prior to where you're planning to put the crossing opening. And I kind of noticed the puddle keeps getting bigger and bigger, so I'm just wondering about the sinking in that area.
So make sure there's a washout there. That's the one
We'll check. Yeah, I'm sure they didn't engineer it that way. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Hearing none, I will invite, we have a scout in the room. This is your lucky opportunity. Do you want to come up to the microphone so we won't harass you as bad as we do the township manager?
Hi, I'm Noah Wallace from Troop 108. I'm here working for my citizenship with the community merit badge, and I have to come and listen to a meeting within the next month and listen to one of the discussions that was talked about during the meeting and what my opinion is, and I have chosen about the equal pay. What are you guys doing to work towards that? And if not, like, what can you do in the future?
I think one of the easiest ways to answer it is we have, beyond the policy or the fundamental policy of equal pay for women, we contractually, through our union contracts, have an obligation for equal pay, for equal work. So I think we're at least steps ahead of it, and it's something we embrace readily. So I'll ask the township manager if there's anything he'd like to add.
No, everybody up here has daughters. We certainly favor it to 100%. Like the chairman said, in government, basically everybody pays the position they hold, not the gender they have. So we'll be trying to be fair for everybody.
Then what's being suggested is a proclamation that we would actually make a proclamation that says we encourage businesses within the township to also be very responsible.
It goes beyond just us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great question.
Are there any other comments? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Weir, second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor, we're adjourned. Have a great night, folks.